This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about the bottom of the sea. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. The depths of the ocean are filled with exquisite and awe-inspiring creatures. Brilliantly colored shrimp, octopuses that glow in the dark, luminescent jellyfish that look like angels. And then there's the sand striker. Science writer Sabrina Imbler told me about this strange creature.
So the sand striker is a worm. It's a polychaete worm, and they live basically burrowed into the seafloor. So if you were to be like in the ocean, you probably would never really see the whole worm because its body, which can grow like 9-10 feet long, is basically just deep within the sand. And they have these antenna and these like big jaws that basically sort of poke out of the sand, and they sense for prey like that. They sort of have their antenna swiveling, they have their jaws open, and then whenever an unsuspecting fish comes too close, the sand striker closes its jaws around the fish and drags it down into its burrow.
It sounds like something out of a horror movie, but Sabrina is a fan.
I'm of the opinion that any animal can be beautiful in their own way. And the sand striker, if you do get a chance to see a photo of it a little bit outside of its burrow, like it is beautiful. The skeleton is iridescent and so takes on this rainbow sheen in the light, like these beautiful electric blues and purples and oranges.
But for aquarium owner Don Arndt, the sand striker, which is also known as the bobbit worm, has very few appealing qualities.
I more likened it to the sand creatures in Dune. It's quite disgusting.
Don became a bit of an expert on this worm by accident. He loves all things ocean. He grew up in Southern California, and he's been a scuba diver since he was a kid. He lives in Michigan now, and to bring some of that ocean vibe with him, he set up a giant saltwater aquarium.
It's a way for me in Michigan to experience a tropical reef anytime I want to. It's very relaxing. It's just like scuba diving.
And Don is very serious about his aquarium. He didn't just want something pretty to look at. He wanted a genuine ecosystem. So in 1996, he did something a lot of home aquarium enthusiasts were doing at the time. He bought a special massive rock for his tank.
People put rocks out in the ocean and they get colonized by various organisms, and then they sell it off to aquarium owners as live rock.
Live rock introduces a diversity of bacteria, algae, and tiny creatures into saltwater tanks that help create healthier ecosystems and filter the water. In Don's case, the rock also brought something else, a sand striker, the bobbit worm. The long and arduous battle that ensued is reminiscent of fighting an ancient mythical sea monster. Liz Tung has more.
The first thing to know about Don is that he's a total aquarium nerd. He started keeping fish when he was just a kid.
And I've always had one ever since, much to my wife's dismay.
Don has a saltwater aquarium, which is a ton of work. Picture a real-life version of the Little Mermaid. Gorgeous coral, brightly colored tropical fish. It is exquisite. And for almost 30 years, it's been a big part of Don's life, not to mention his house.
So it's a 150-gallon saltwater reef tank. And it's 4 feet wide, 2 feet deep, and then just about 3 feet tall.
In other words, it's huge. The aquarium's technically located in Don's garage, but he cut a hole in the wall between his garage and his house, so it looks like a picture hanging on the wall. And for all this time, it's been a source of beauty and relaxation for Don. Until one fateful night in 2009, when Don spotted something strange.
One of my corals, something bit a big hole in it and scurried off into the rocks. And that's how this whole nightmare started.
At the time, not many people knew about bobbit worms, but what they'd heard was bad. For one thing, they're hideous.
So a bobbit worm looks like a giant centipede. It's got these tentacles that stick out and it's kind of multicolored.
They grow incredibly fast and incredibly big.
They can grow to 11 feet long. This particular one that I had was about 3/4 of an inch around.
About the diameter of a quarter. They're also ambush predators. They burrow into the sand and then shoot out with razor-sharp jaws capable of slicing fish in half.
And the thing could disappear in a fraction of a second. They're so fast.
Worst of all, they're destructive.
They literally eat everything. I observed them one night eating stony coral, which is basically calcium, like an ear of corn. He was just chewing it right off. They eat fish. They eat everything.
One of the things that was most disturbing to Don is that the worm had probably been living in his tank for more than 10 years by the time he noticed it. Don's guessing it rode its way into the tank in the live rock that he'd installed in his aquarium back in 1996, which means it was probably just a little baby worm when it first arrived. 13 years later, Don was guessing it had grown to around 2 to 3 feet, all of which it was able to hide, slinky-like, in a 1-inch hole in the aquarium's live rock.
It literally was, like, all through the rocks. It tunnels through rocks. It literally can eat rock, which is amazing.
Don had no idea how to get this thing out of the rock it was living in. And there was no way to get the rock out of the aquarium. It weighed 90 pounds dry. Soaked with water and covered in coral, Don says it probably weighed almost 300 pounds. Plus, it had become an integral part of the tank's ecosystem.
There's just no way to get it out without totally destroying the whole aquarium.
No one else Don talked to knew what to do either. So instead, Don turned to an ancient tome of wisdom.
The Art of War.
That's right, the famous military treatise written in 5th century BC by Sun Tzu. Source of the famous quote, "Keep your friends close and your enemies closer." So Don decided he would start off by befriending the bobbit worm.
So I started feeding it every night. They're nocturnal mostly, and I would stay up all night waiting for it to stick its little head out, and then I would feed it shrimp. And so it got used to coming out every single night at the same time, and I would feed it every night at the same time. And then I started the war.
Don's first plan of attack was a plot worthy of a Shakespearean drama. He would poison the worm.
So my first plan was, once I got it eating shrimp, I would inject the shrimp with copper, which is poison to most aquatic animals, and then feed it a copper-laden shrimp, and then hopefully it would die.
And so, okay, so you would lower the shrimp down with tongs, it would, like, shoot out and get the shrimp, and then it ate the shrimp with a copper in it, obviously, right?
For several nights, yes.
And what happened?
Nothing. It just kept coming back for more.
So Don moved on to his second scheme.
Interceptor, which is a dog heartworm pill, which we also use in the saltwater aquarium world to rid these pests called red bugs that eat coral, kill your coral.
So each night, Don would stuff half a pill inside the shrimp and feed it to the worm.
And what happened when you did that?
Nothing. I did it for 3 nights in a row. And then I waited, and he kept coming back every night.
Could you see him growing bigger as you were feeding him shrimp?
He was getting bolder, which I was also encouraging, like pulling it out a little bit further to see how far. At this point, I didn't know how big he was.
If the worm was long enough, Don was hoping, maybe he could lure it out just far enough to grab it with the tongs and yank it out.
And then I did some reading, and they said if you break it in half, you will have two because it's a segmented worm, so it'll grow a new head.
So that was a no-go, as was tack number two, the deworming pill.
Yeah, the interceptor did not work. So then I got really creative.
On to Don's third plan of attack, feeding the bobbit worm a shrimp filled with superglue.
I thought if it ate it, it would bite into it and glue its mouth closed. So I literally hollowed out a shrimp shell and filled it full of superglue and fed him that.
After the first night, Don thought he had him. The worm ate the superglue shrimp and then disappeared for a couple days. But pretty soon, he was back.
He came back every night. I think it was 4 or 5 times I gave it a try. It still didn't work.
By this time, Don was getting desperate. In addition to his own morbid experiments, he turned to an online aquarium forum for help. And his post generated a ton of interest. They've actually become kind of legendary.
I believe we've named it the Bobbit Worm Chronicles because it went on for so long.
Anyway, Don says he thinks a lot of the interest was because this was such a new phenomenon, a problem even professional aquariums hadn't cracked yet.
Plus, the thing is just so disgusting. You know, it was like watching a car crash.
And it was a delicate problem to solve. Anything that could kill the bobbit worm could potentially kill Don's other fish, had taken a risk with the liquid copper and the interceptor pills. And he couldn't just grab the worm because it was so cautious. It would only come far enough out of the rock to eat and then dart back in the blink of an eye. Don needed something that would physically kill the worm, not just poison it. Everyone on the forum had their own ideas.
Someone on the thread suggested glass, so I ground up glass, mixed it with super glue and put it in there. That didn't work either. I think the second time I fed him shards of glass, like quarter-inch shards of glass, and he did disappear for a few days, actually almost a week, I think. And then I happened to stroll by the aquarium. I thought he was dead, and then I saw him out eating one of my corals. So he was back.
At this point, Don was about 3 weeks into his war against the bobbit worm, and he was starting to lose it.
I was traumatized. I was mad, frustrated that I couldn't get the thing out. So I wasn't sleeping at night because I would have to get up at 3 a.m. to feed the thing. And then I was just, very frustrated, extremely frustrated.
This creature posed an existential threat to Don's aquarium. It was decimating his beautiful coral, and he worried that soon it would start eating his fish. Don had been driven to the edge of his sanity. He'd been staying up half the night for weeks, guarding his tank. He'd fed the worm copper, superglue, and broken glass, all with no effect. Clearly, he needed to do something drastic. Go to hand-to-hand combat with the worm.
I finally was like, okay, I'm just going to fish this thing out like it was a fish.
So one night, around feeding time, Don baited a fishing hook with some shrimp and lowered it into the tank.
And he swallowed it whole, and I had him, and it was, I've fished off the Florida Keys. I've had some epic fish battles, but this one went on for, I don't remember, I think it was like 40 minutes.
So it's 2:30 in the morning, and Don is standing on top of his tank in his garage, trying to pull this thing out. At the time, Don had speculated that the worm was maybe 2 to 3 feet long, but as it kept unfurling, this segmented beast covered in dozens of legs, he realized it had reached horrifying proportions.
And every time I pulled it, it would come out a little bit, and it just kept coming out. It was kind of disgusting.
It was strong, but Don was stronger. And then it happened. The bobbit worm snapped. Don stumbled backwards. He watched with horror as the remaining section of the worm darted back into its rock.
And I was left with a 2-foot section of brown grossness.
So was that first section still alive?
It was wiggling around on the floor, yes. I just bagged it up and threw it away.
The worst part? Somehow, Don had ended up with the back end of the worm.
I looked at it and I was like, oh, there's no head. How did I catch the back end?
Knowing what he knew about bobbit worm's ability to regenerate, Don was sure the worm would soon be back to its old tricks. So he kept watch. A day went by, then another, and another. A week, 10 days. No bobbit worm. Maybe it really had died. Don was just starting to relax. Just starting to accept that maybe this whole hellish journey was finally over. When he spotted him.
I saw him in the middle of the night eating a very beautiful, bright blue sponge that I had.
Don watched with rage as the worm chomped away at his sponge. But then something lucky happened. The worm left his usual hideout, the giant rock, and crawled into a smaller one. Don knew this was his chance. Maybe his only chance.
And I pulled that rock out, dragged it out of my driveway at 3 o'clock in the morning and started busting it up. First, I tried spraying hot water inside its hole to see if it would come out. It did not. So I picked up the rock and broke it, and then it came crawling out, all 5 feet of it.
5 feet. And remember, Don had already snapped off another 2 feet of this thing.
Did you scream?
I believe I swore and then was jumping for joy and trying to take videos of the thing.
You'd think, after everything the bobbit worm put Don through, he'd want to destroy it right away. But he didn't. Instead, he chucked it in a bucket full of water, and the next day called a friend who worked at the local pet store. The friend told Don to bring it in.
So when you finally got it out, did you feel any connection at all to the Bobbit Worm? You'd been through so much together, you know?
Oddly enough, there was a little bit of me that was like, wow, you know, yeah, a little bit, maybe. Maybe. I guess maybe that's why I didn't kill it right away. Plus, I didn't know how to kill it, to be honest. I mean, this thing had just survived everything I could think of.
The worm lived for a while on display at the pet shop, a warning to other aquarium owners of what might be lurking in their tanks.
I did go look at it a few times, yes. He didn't recognize me. But the weird thing was, so this thing is 5 feet long at this point, and they put it in a little tank with these little rocks, maybe 3 inches, 4 inches, and that thing would hide in those rocks. Like, I don't know how it did it. They're an amazing creature, that's all I can say. They will be around long after us.
But the worm didn't end up staying a de facto pet. In the end, they put him in a jar of formaldehyde and gave him to a local biology student. And Don's aquarium has been fine ever since. All that's left of his encounter is the forum thread, which gets shared around every few months. And Don's memories of his epic war with a creature from the deep.
This was a battle. But I won.
That story was reported by Liz Tongue.